you wanna know about football on the radio. It's all on the Soccer Show.
It's Friday the 19th of April 2024 in the west of Ireland on a calm, balmy evening, you know, lightly breezed, and it's all there to host a serene scent of spring in the air as hope rings eternal on my approach to Terryland Arena for tonight's massive big match. As Galway United, well, they'll play the League of Ireland Premier Division tabletopper Shelburne FC, who arrive from the east with their own sense of danger in their boots. The atmosphere around town felt decidedly Easter, you know, and that kind of contemporary type of ease in the aisles with the birds flying, tweeting in unison, as long cool drinks are being served by professional bartenders outside numerous taverns as fans of football and music combine their scars together to quench their own dreamy thirst for the magic moment before supping up the dregs to drop a few trendies off outside the Black Box to get in the queue for the Adrian Lenker gig as the Maroon Army, well, they marched uphill towards the hallowed turf. Drama, it was never far away though on the Dyke Road entrance as we crossed that trickling ravine via a creaky iron rust coloured grid that does a bit of humming to accompany the roll of distant quincentennial traffic. And then we were all stopped in our tracks to prepare a food delivery truck push, as it was due just to get wedged under the low bridge before the Garda. Well, they ordered an urgent three-point turn for every little bit helps that supplier's van that said on its side there's no baguettes left in this vehicle as a warning to, the would-be big thieves. With floodlights tearing above over on the horizon, our universal eyes lifted as we heard the first howls of United United in the distance as the sun gathered into a place to consider turning it in for the night as the home faithful, well, they twisted the turnstiles in unison to view the green blaze. And it was noticeable that the Block A visitor section was unguarded by any heavy security due to a ban on Shelbourne supporters because of a recent pyro flare flashing incident down in Weavers Park in Drogheda United, where the smoke bomb fan, well, he has since been identified, but the FAI determined that there'll be no more troublemakers in the Corrib side tonight. So all we can hope for is that the fireworks remain on the pitch between the 22 that were on show. And with the club car park full to capacity, the expectation of a frenzied atmosphere is odds on. When the sides met earlier in the season at Talker Park, the Reds won by a small margin courtesy of a John Martin strike. And the last meet here at Amondissey Park, well, that ended in a pre-season 1-1 draw, yeah, back last year. Shells are there, very happy in top spot, getting off to a decent start, but two draws and a first defeat to pose last Friday, well, it's dented their runaway burst. Galway also picked up a deserved point in Waterford last time out and sit in 8th place on 11 points, but with just one win in 6. And they'll be looking for improvement, and that's according to the manager, John Caulfield. Shell's keeper, Connor Kearns, he used to represent the line for Galway, and he said that he expected his former teammates to have more points on the board by now. But I'm sure their gaffer, the legendary Damien Duff, will have a shrewd plan up his sleeve to get his side back on form to impact their 21 points so far. So as I walked around the back of the Comer stand, some fans gathered to peep in through the tunnel window frames to watch preparations from a rearview mirror. Considering the players' approach as both sides, well, they've got full-strength squads to pick from. And with a fresh new club bar open for pints, it was the liveliest space to head towards and meet with members of the Tribes entourage. So I turned on the podcast mic to share a big stout chat with a long-time club servant, Sean Hines. Right, here we are at the new bar. Fantastic. You know, where else would you be here on a Friday night getting a nice little sup in? So, Sean, that's what you're doing, isn't it, first thing?
You've got to get in the atmosphere and get in the mood. So a nice pint of Guinness, which I must say is quite nice.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Is it a plastic glass?
It is, I'm afraid, but it's probably for safety, so we'll go with it.
That's the way it is these days, isn't it? Health and safety, you know, although sometimes in glass, you know, it's nicer.
Look, you can't have it everywhere. So the ambiance, blue skies, looks like a nice crowd coming in. So a win will do and we're all happy.
Brilliant. It's a balmy sort of evening, isn't it? Spring evening. It felt a bit like Easter to me on the way in, you know.
Late spring, I'm afraid. Not summer yet, but we'll take it. No rain.
Exactly. Great night for football. I mean, will this be give an advantage to Galway home, being the pitch so good? Of course, no away supporters.
Well, hopefully it will help. Our record at the moment hasn't been great at home, but hopefully this could be the start of it. Shelburne will be good, top of the table. But we got to start somewhere. I take a point now, but let's see.
Yeah, it's another test, isn't it? I mean, they knew when they came up, you know, they're going to meet some big boys along the way. I mean, what's your thoughts about this, you know, the Shelbourne fans and the flares and being banned?
I don't necessarily agree with it, to be quite honest with you. I think it's a bit extreme. It's not fair to the decent Shells fans, which there are many, and to the Galway United fans, and also it's a home game for Galway United, and the revenue will suffer. So I'm not too sure it's the way to go. I think it's a bit extreme, but look, let's see, it might stamp out the flares. If it does, maybe it'll help.
It's funny that, isn't it, that it's so kind of ripe here in the League of Ireland, and I heard in the Scottish League as well, but like the Premier League, you never see it. Is that anything to do with kind of a security aspect to it?
Well, I don't know, is it security or just fans have decided, look, let's make our mark and we create an atmosphere, but it's not the right way to do it. So hopefully it might be just a fad, and if they stamp down on it, maybe it'll just go away, hopefully, so people can come safe and enjoy the game.
I guess it's a bit like the football team, isn't it? You want that spark, you know, you want a little bit of light, but you don't want the flames or the smoke.
Exactly, like the first game here of the season, like you could hardly see it for 15 minutes. Atmosphere was good, but still, I think they were better off without them, really.
Have you been to see them play Shells before?
I've been involved with Galway United. I've been a director, I've been a shareholder, I've been secretary. So I've been going to Galway United for a long, long time.
Okay, right. Well, that brings you now to the bar, right? Let's get to the bar league, top of the table. I mean, and a brand new bar here. Has it got a name?
Actually, I don't know, to be quite honest. I don't think it has.
We might give it a name, might we, before we end the interview?
The Tribesman.
The Tribesman, that was very good. You've heard it here first. But how does it compare to other bars around the country at the other stadiums?
Well, I haven't been to too many of the other stadiums, to be quite honest with you, so I really can't answer that one. But it's a nice addition. If it's well looked after and well-minded, and it should be an addition.
Well, it's an income for the club, isn't it?
Absolutely, and the atmosphere, and for the decent fans who want a pint or two before it, no harm.
I mean, to the team, they have to start believing now, don't they? They're down to eighth place. I mean, okay, there's very small margins, not that many points between them. A couple of wins with a game in hand could push them up the table. But Shell's a big test. I mean, what like you say, you would take a draw. I watched the game when they lost away 1-0 to Shells, and they had the majority of the game for the first 15 minutes, and then Shells made one attack and they scored the goal, they sat on it, and then they kind of improved. Maybe it was 1-0 at the end of the night, but only small margins they're losing by. But
if you look at the for and against, I think it's 5-6, so the margins are very tight. You know, you're better off getting a couple of wins rather than 4 or 5 draws, but we're always going to be struggling, and if we stay up, I think we'll be good and build on that. And that's the important thing, really, is to stay in the league, build in the off-season again next season. I know I'm moving forward, but you've got to plan these things and get some more players in. Personally, I think at the moment we badly need a striker. The team worked very hard. You can't fault that effort. But it's a tough, tough game, so let's stay up for this season and work on it.
I mean, that's why the home games are so important, isn't it, really? Do you know what I mean? To get the 3 points there, although they are doing well away on the road, maybe the kind of game plan suits them. But
yes, there is that to it as well, and maybe they do. But I mean, if you want to get the fans keep coming back to Terryland, we need a few wins, and that could create confidence as well. So hopefully, you never know tonight. Just might be one of these games you might do it. Shelburne need a win. They've lost the last two. So, you know, they'll be going at it. But as you say, it's going to go right to the wire. You know, it's going to go back to the last couple of games. And if we're in there, good.
And it comes down to managers. I mean, they've both got huge CVs, haven't they? Of course, Damien Duff playing a lot in the Premier League, and Chelsea and Blackburn, etc., Newcastle. And, of course, the two boys here, well, they're not short of a few medals, are they?
No, you can't fault the sideline, really, for the experience and that. And hopefully, that as the season goes on, that the experience will stand. Duffer has made a fantastic job in Shelburne for a club that were nearly gone. I remember the time it was really struggling, and they're back, which is great. But yeah, the outro lads, very, very experienced. I think they need a couple of players. They work the team hard. They seem to be very, very fit. They have game plans, do and don't work, but let's see.
And Sean, like the new bridge that they've just built there in Galway, or naming now, about the Hope Bridge, I guess that's what we're going to have here at Terryland, don't we? A lot of hope.
A lot of hope, and that's all, we always need hope, and get the fans coming back again, and that's what it's all about.
Thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome. It's all on the Soccer
Show. A fine inside discussion there to begin the proceedings, and with the Shell fans only able to purchase some virtual tickets to support charity concerns and help Galway's account in protest at the FAI's decision to ban away support tonight, I couldn't identify any undercover Reds on the terraces, so instead I turned to Lee, who I nicknamed Spursy, due to the cockerel emblazoned on his chest. So I approached him with my Chelsea head to find out the Cockney view of this top-of-the-table clash.
Come on, you little lad!
Lee, here we are. You've got your Spurs shirt on. You're not at White Hart Lane at the moment,
I'm
you know?
I'm not at White Hart Lane anymore, no.
Do you get the wrong bus?
No, yeah, we made it here.
Very good. So here we are, Galway United taking on the tabletop with Shelbourne. Yeah. How's this going to go?
I'd hope that Galway United would struggle at home from what I've seen, but... Look, it's a nice day outside, plenty of Galway United colours around the place, so hopefully the supporters get behind them.
It's like a beautiful night for football, isn't it? I mean, you know, Friday night, here you come, you know, you could have a picnic out in this weather, it's balmy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely be out having a couple of pints and relaxing and enjoying the sun.
Did you try the new bar?
No, not yet. No. That's where I was on the way to, I'm just waiting for my mate here.
I'm just caught you at the right time then, you know?
Priorities out of the way.
Exactly, yeah, we'll get, you know, done a few pints go down.
Exactly, for sure, man.
So, if Galway to play Tottenham Hotspur? How would that go?
Oh, that'd be a tough one. Now, in fairness, I'd like to see it, but probably not in my lifetime.
I mean, Spurs, they're doing not too bad, are they? I like their manager, Angie.
Angie,
I think he's done good. I mean, they just seem to be fall away at the... I don't know, some games you expect them to win, they're falling back. You know, you could say that for every side, but definitely Spurs.
No, definitely. I've been delighted with this season for Tottenham so far, and I think Ange is going to really make a big difference, especially next season. I'd honestly be happy with a fifth place position, so we can definitely give it a first match to the Europa League.
Would you ever get over there for a match?
I've been over there. Yeah, I've been over to the new stadium. It's absolutely amazing. Phenomenal stadium. Yeah, definitely. One of the best I've ever been to. And I've been to like Wembley and a lot of stadiums. And probably the best I've been to so far.
Well, about bars then. I know you haven't visited this bar yet, but I asked Sean earlier actually about what's the state of bars around the country and stadiums?
In Ireland in particular, is it? This is honestly the only Irish stadium I've ever been to be completely honest with you, man. And I'm just about to taste out the local beverage. So
Too early a question.
Exactly.
And so when was the last time you were here at a match for Galway United?
I was only a kid. I must have been 10 years old. And I said, you know what? We're in the Premier League again now. So I said, I may as well go in and have a look at some good football again.
So the word is getting out there, attracting you.
Exactly. Yeah. No, for sure. And I only live nearby as well. So there's no reason for me not to come. Love watching football. So I may as well watch it live on my own doorstep, you know?
Would you play football yourself?
A little bit, fifth and five aside. I'm certainly not anywhere decent, but yeah.
Goal scorer?
Five aside. No, I'm a bit of a right back kind of.
Okay,
yeah.
So you'd be keeping an eye on what's going on here.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, you know, Shell's come here, they're favourites. Obviously, no away fans, you know, and I heard that they actually identified the supporter that left on the flare, and they've now banned him from Shell's, if that's true. That's a rumour I saw on the social media. But, I mean, it does detract from the atmosphere, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? The away fans. But what's your thoughts of these flares and using pyros in the ground?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's a tough one to go for, right? It does create a lot of atmosphere, but at the same time, it can be quite dangerous to some people as well. And, like, look, if you look at, you go to any of the games in Germany or any of the European games, you can't even see the pitch because it's just a sea of red, you know? It's just the kind of thing that comes with football, but I think it has to be moderated to some degree.
But do you get it in the GAA or the rugby?
No, absolutely not. No,
you don't get it in the Premier League much, either.
No, you don't get it in the Premier League, no. But like, it's a very European thing, but not so much like an Irish-English thing at all. Yeah, that's because it's a lot more enforced. It does come with its fair share of danger, but...
I do feel it's a bit unfair, really, because if the same thing happened to Galway, if a Galway fan let off a flare, obviously, and you know, it went AWOL at an away ground, and then the rest of all the good Galway fans can't attend the match, you know what I mean? But is it just a way, I guess, some punishment of showing, I don't know, the strength of the FAI, or I mean, how else would you do it?
Yeah, no, it's fair enough, but like, I don't know, I think that like it. Now that Shells don't have the away fans here, Galway United do have the 12th man big time. You can hear them already over there, and it makes a massive difference. Like when there's not any Shells colours in anywhere, it's all just maroon everywhere you go, left and right. So it will make a massive difference to the game. But yeah, that's where I'm not sure too much about where to go with the whole flares and everything situation. It's a tough one to kind of to grasp, you know.
No, I guess the players just have to put that aside and play their own game on the pitch and whichever way they approach it. So I'm going to leave you, Lee, before you go for a pint. Give us a prediction.
I would say I do think it's going to be probably 1-0 Shells is what my prediction is going to be.
Have you enough balls to listen to The Soccer Show? WordPress.com. The Soccer Show for fans only.
So with the build-up and the bookies odds all canned, it was time to join my own congregation under the TV gantry for the 7:45pm kick-off whistle as Shells roll the ball backwards from the centre spot in an all-white strip. And it wasn't long before their Liam Birtwell, wearing a number 67 on his back, he shot from distance with precision and power to send warning of their 90-minute assault. Galway, though, they grew into the game, pressing high, forcing their illustrious neighbours into pockets around the D as two set-piece corner routines fed from both flags, dinked intricately sideways and then passes that finalised with an SW7 Walsh climbing highest to nod it all over. The host Bloc F Ensemble, well, they raised the level in chorus as the third corner found Curran's picking out the cross with his lofty gloves. Before United's left back, Al Kazim, well, he had his legs taken from under him in what some may call a flying dive, but the subsequent long ball down the flank, well, it outran all the chasing studs as players matched up space to deny little opportunities. With a quarter down, United were forcing the play with dynamic energy, and I could see mud, blood and sweat in the battle until the number 9, Sean Boyd, he made the custodian Brendan Clark swiftly react to deny a downward header and receive a rounding reward of applause. But on the 24th minute, a clever, hustling, bustling, sweeping counter move led to the opener as Walsh, Hurley and Irving combined to break down the right and distribute a daisy cutter into the onrushing advance of Ed McCarthy, who kept his positive nerve and feet on the surface inside the box to anticipate the cross, and he couldn't miss the chance of a beautiful tap into the empty net and provoke the obligatory knee slide salute. 1-0, game on. Shells retaliated though over the next 15 with their height advantage, but it wasn't breaking down any doors yet. Then skipper McCormack, well, he took one for the team, ending a visit as lunging run with the official's card meaning that he could be absent for the next match in Sligo after a culmination of bookings. With 5 to go until the half-time copper, we almost witnessed a goal of the season contender though, as McCarthy's superb ball down the left flank found Dervin getting in behind the line to stop, twist, drop a shoulder and curl a delightful chip towards the apex of the post and the bar, only to hear them both rebound the effort and allow Cairns to deny a dramatic effort as the stand in unison they stood up to cheer the flourishing entertainment. United's defence continued to work hard and diligently to block out any spaces with a fighting spirit and one of their better campaign performances so far, with 1 minute added on to ref Damien McGrath's watch. So on the blast, I turned to my fellow comedic pundit Jerry Mallon to analyse the 45 as a qualified stand-in for the birthday absentee Mikey the Jacket Dawson. Half time, right, from one Jerry to another. Recap that first half.
Oh, that's the best 45 minutes of football I think United have played all season. It's a bit of a shaky start, but they're all over them. And some players are having a game of the first half of their lives anyway. Kazim, Ed McCarthy, unreal. That's the best I've seen United all season.
I mean, their game plan is to press them, isn't it? Press them high, keep them, hold back in their own box.
Yeah, absolutely. I think up to now, you know, United have been kind of scared of Dublin clubs and paying them too much respect, but pressing high, not letting them stroke the ball around. Probably putting the mocklers on them now, but Shells haven't done much. The first 5-10 minutes, Shells looked fairly lively, but since then, it's been all United.
I mean, they've got a height advantage, but it hasn't really told. Brendan Clark got down, though, to make one good save, didn't he, down to his right-hand side?
Yeah, good save early on. But then, you know, as well, what United have on the bench, you know, Wasim could come on, Francley, but they look rock solid at the back. That's the best I've seen United play all season, I think, anyway.
All right, happy man for you. And I want to say thank you for the chocolate, for bringing that in. That's sustained, keep us going.
70% cocoa from Madagascar, the well-known chocolate-producing country.
I mean, you can't go through a Friday night football match night like this without a nice bar of dark chocolate, can you?
You know it.
And we're still friends because our other favourites, they drew a blank, didn't they? Bramall Lane a couple of weeks ago.
The Blades in Chelsea were like, well, we're going down. Chelsea, not a great season. You know, I mean, consistently inconsistent, I'd say, is the best two words for Chelsea this season.
A good turnout tonight, not too bad. You said there was a bunch of Shell supporters down there incognito, were they, in jackets?
Yeah, no, I spotted them, yeah. They got their...
It's the accent that gave them away, was it?
Maybe the flares in the back pocket. No, they could be a backroom team around them, but... And there's a few in the stand. There was a few oohs early doors when those shots went in from Shells in the old stand over here. But, it's a pity because, you know, United are being punished. The club are going to lose about 6-7K for something they weren't involved in. You know, there's no income from... Like, if Shells had away support, there'd be at least 300-400 of them here. Do the maths, that's about 7K, you know, that's...
No, it's no joking matter, but as a comedy act, I suppose you could say they were virtual oohs, weren't they, in the crowd?
yeah, some sort like that.
I mean, it might not help them either way. I'm 1-0 down, half-time, you know, so second half, see how it goes. It's good to be one up, good to see Galway winning.
Yeah, you'd wonder, I would have thought maybe, you know, in the professional league, would it be a big difference if a team didn't have the supporters there? But it probably does. It probably doesn't. You know, they don't get that lift when they have a close shave or whatever and stuff. But it's good to see the bars doing a roaring trade anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and again, the empty seats, there's a lot of good suggestions about what you could do with them empty seats. And I think the Shells fans, well, they've raised some money for charity.
Have they? I saw that appeal to buy virtual tickets. I wonder how successful that was. I have to say, if the roles were reversed, I wouldn't be buying tickets for virtual tickets for Shells. But maybe for somebody like, I don't know, Drogheda or Dundalk or somebody who needed it. But be interesting to see the half times and the other matches. I mean, 3 points here and whatever happens next Monday against Sligo, if we've got a point or three there, we're set fair.
Still a long way to go, though, and they've got to still work hard, which the defence have done. I thought they blocked them out well. And like you say, the midfield have kind of clicked here and there. Borden, he's one of your favourites on the pitch.
Bless him. Like, a great man in the First Division. Like, he's... I hate using the term, but he's like a classic Caulfield player, a big guy, breaks it up, but I'm not sure what he brings to the party. But
look, you need them silent players, though, sometimes. You don't realise sometimes what they do in breaking down space.
Maybe mix the likes of Dervin and Edge, and those guys look good.
Give it an advantage to go loose.
Yeah.
And, well, lovely night for football. Anyway, 1-0, half-time, we'll take that. We'll get back to our chocolate. And I guess you want to send out a little request to say happy birthday to Mikey, and we'll say to Sarah and to Edie.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mikey. I'm sorry for calling you Dennis, man.
The Soccer Show, for fans only.
So with the sun settling and the bar still pouring pints, both sides squared up around the circle once again to measure up and look to hold on to what they have. Early doors, Kasim was using his pace to cause concern, and Dervin's precise touch was ever present, looking dangerous on the flank, not letting the visitors settle, making every inch count to keep the Shell's central defence of Barrett and Malloy on edge. When Ed McCarthy took a throw-in down by the visiting block A corner, he felt relatively comfortable this evening, with only the Corrib side encouragement delivered behind his shoulders and those uplifted arms to take a long throw-in with no Dublin contingent in the zone to beat. A great big drum. Shell's gaffer, Damien Duff, though, he did a josie on 50 minutes, introducing three subs to wedge up the attack as Ledwidge, Smith and Jarvis pulled up their socks to get fresh while Gannon, Farrell and Caffrey headed down towards the early shower. It instantly increased the visitors' push forward, but they found their pockets picked as United's rear guard stood firm as every player did their duty to dig in and stop the flow. As we asked, are the Shells shocked? Just on the hour mark, number 36, Will Jarvis, he attempted a drive when he got in behind a defender's slip, but couldn't take full advantage after being fed by the former tribesman Paddy Barrett. Moments later, though, the rush upfield led to Dervin's wicked cross finding Walsh on the edge of the box in space as his header, when it looped just wide of the target to raise the tension on the terraces. Brendan Clarke, he displayed his own locker's experience, buying some time on his knees after Burt's burst down the right. That swept into Boyd, who struck well, but eventually that kind of tame effort was just off target. Then a minute of football craziness followed when Rob Slevin was adjudged to have handled a misplaced pass, but the Shell's free from the line. Well, it couldn't be the first man, and United hacked it clear. The visitor's John O'Sullivan, he then flew in a wild shot from distance that got deflected before being subbed, with Dean Williams taken over with 20 left on the scoreboard. The Maroon hosts, well, they sat deep, retreating to soak up the pressure and rely on a swift upfield punt now and again, that kind of counter ploy as the game got stretched and the terraces roar. Well, it whistled in jest when a nameless Shell's pass, well, it rolled sideways over the perimeter line. With 15 to go, the player of the match so far, A.O. Dervin, he was replaced in the middle by Galway's O'Sullivan in what some saw as a surprise switch, as the number 8 left to a standing terrace applause from all sides after another impressive, tireless bite of tenacity while regularly outpacing three markers to feed his forward line. The oohs and the ahs reverberated the poos then when a double chance went begging as first McCormack whacked towards the frame, only for its rebound to fall into Borden's path, who lifted it just up and over Kerrin's home. With 10 to go, as the hosts were constantly winning the second ball drops, competing for yards in a high-tempo rush to gain respect from the block F rally call. As Shells pushed for a late leveller, we wondered, could any incognito away spectators control themselves if they achieved their aim, as those red shirts seemed to be hidden under a swarm of black jackets? But I can guess Duffer, he can remember Josie's wheelie bin, kind of arrival at the odd European tie to remind him of that VIP trick. Conor O'Keefe, he was then added to the on-field book of misdemeanours for time waste and a touchline throw-in as United contained the ticking down minutes. Although Walshy, he must have wondered if it was going to be his day alone up front, being marshalled either side by a dominant centre-back wall. Further bench movements from the both dugouts introduced the lean Wasim for Walsh and the lively Ward for Boyd with five to go. Although the next X feed mentioned the car park alarm pinball fest with the subs' wayward efforts. Number three Wilson also blasted from afar in the dying seconds, only to find Brendan Clark eager to keep a clean sheet and deny his former club with a superb Billy the Fish tip over to save the day. Huge boos then fell on the rest whistle when Kassim went down under a hefty challenge outside the Shell's box, and he stayed down while the play continued until the away account. Well, that eventually stopped when a Shell's player hit the turf upwards. But all hell then hit the fan with the cards flashed around the dugouts as the entire coaching badges saw reds and yellows, with gaffer John Caulfield heading back into the tunnel in a nutty rude boy session before full time. Shells, they mustered up a final assault and some corner kicks in the three added minutes, with one ambitious effort though from Galway's Raseem looking to lob Kearns from the halfway line as a Cole Palmer came to mind. McCarthy's and Hurley's departure soaked up the seconds as the dugouts settled down, and the 1-0 victory takes pressure off the Corrib sides but adds some tactical tension in the Duffer boot room, as in hindsight they may consider if they could do anything different to gain the points. And just before gaining the match reviews from the managers, I was handed a massive surprise, an honourable opportunity, as I was nominated to hand over the Man of the Match trophy to the dynamic midfielder A.O. Durbin for his overall excellent performance, and is all thanks to the United legend Paul O'Brien. Thank you kindly, sir. So the result means Galway move up to 6th on 14 points, while the Shells stay top on 21 points, 2 above their capital neighbours Bows. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Jerry Mulcairns, and I hope you enjoyed this match report. And let's now join the media crew of Mike Rafferty, Keith Kelly and Dave Finn to hear from both Ollie Horgan and Damien Duff on a Friday night's feast of football.
Bit of satisfaction about that night, Ollie?
Yeah, well, I mean, any time you beat Shelburne or you beat anyone in the Premier Division, home or away, of course, it's satisfaction. You know, you're 3 points further up the table. But, you know, cutting it early in the conversation, the last time we won was on a Friday night in Derry, and we never prepared for the Monday night against Bowes, and we're going to Sligo on Monday. So, yeah, we'll enjoy it for an hour or two and get our heads right in the morning. We're in the morning to try and get a team prepared for Sligo, because the last time we had 2 games in the weekend, our Monday performance was probably the worst in a year and a half that I've seen here, Mike, to put it that way to you.
And of course, that was the only time you've conceded 2 goals this season. I mean, defensively, you're solid, but that great early goal gave you a good boost tonight.
Yeah, tonight's game, I think Shelburne caught us a little bit with their shape. They played a different shape to what they've played the last month. It took us a while for us to get to grips with it. They had 2 half chances. I think Sean Boyd had a chance, and they were picking up pockets and overloading us in areas. But when we got to grips, I thought we were very good from there. Maybe 12, 15 minutes in to half time. Second half, they came out, we sat deeper. And then it was a little bit of, you know, helter skelter. It was a little bit all over the place where it was a matter of grinding it out. But to be fair to the lads there, they did. And, you know, it's a great result, but it's gone. And we need to look at going to the Showgrounds on Monday now.
I mean, Clarkey, you had one serious save to make in the second half, a tip over. You know, Shelburne, you know, obviously put you under pressure, you know, but you still defended very comfortably for that duration.
Yeah, but you have to, like, if you want to win a game in the Premier Division, you have to defend properly. Like, Shelburne are a damn good side. They are on top of the table for no reason. Like, you know, you see their energy, you see the technical ability of them, you see the strength of them and their running ability, the like Celine Burton, Will Jarvis that came on. They're proper, you know, proper players that have been with big clubs, as well that way, yeah? And we've turned them over, but it was probably the reverse of the fixture in Talca Park on a Monday night where we lost narrowly 1-0. So it's good to be at the other end of it. And look, the lads dug in. It's, you know, it was good. It was good for the supporters there tonight. That's what it's about. You know, you need to grind things out should you get yourself. I thought we managed the game quite well. There might have been a moment of madness from Killian where he let the ball, he was excellent other than that, where he let the ball at the right side of the penalty area under his foot. We weathered it, and, you know, to be fair to Conor McCormack and people that led, but we need them to lead in the Shore Grounds on Monday, and we need to have people rearing to go, both physically and mentally, prepare for it, which is what we didn't do coming down the road from the Brandywell a month ago.
Now, not that you're going to need confidence boost from anywhere, but I mean, a win like that over the table toppers, apart from the last 10 minutes when you were probably under the cosh, I mean, that must give you a huge boost of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes was when Shelburne were on top. You know, I think that the first goal was always going to maybe have a big bearing on where the game went. I don't think there's a problem with shortage of confidence. So, you know, I think that the game in Bowes here was poor, without doubt. But I know the Sligo game was called off on the day. We went to Waterford. I thought we were very good in Waterford last Friday. We had energy, we had drive, we had togetherness, which is another thing we showed there tonight. Like, we probably had the better chances tonight, even though a lot of them were on the counter-attack. You know, to win a game in the Premier Division, you need to have everything right, and thankfully we did tonight.
The goal? Well-worked goal?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, to be fair to you, he put in a good ball. He, you know, he put in a great pass. From, you know, it probably took Conor Kearns out of it with the angle of it. We had a number of other chances. He also hit the joint. Yeah. I think in the second half we had a good number. You know, one set up for Walshy and one set up for Wass, and when he came on. While they had the territorial advantage and most of the possession, you know, when you're 1-0 up, you're something to hold on to, and we did. But, you know, if we weren't playing for 2 weeks, we'd enjoy it a little bit more. We can't. It's gone. And I feel mentally that we didn't prepare after the Derry game and the Brandywell for Bohemians, and we paid a serious price, because while it was 2-0, that was the biggest gap in standard that I've seen here in the last 2 years, and please God, there won't be that on Monday night.
Well, of course, it's the same for Sligo. They have a quick turnaround as well. Now, they lost their last two games by 3-0. As it happened, they drew with Dundalk tonight.
Okay. No, I wouldn't read too much into it, getting beaten 3-0 in Tala. We go there next Friday night. I mean, that's no, you know, 3-0. You know, I've been there 3-0 down after about 15 minutes, Mike. So, like, you know, you don't read a whole lot into that. I just think they're at home on Monday. We need to, enjoy the hour or two after the game. Sense of pride, without doubt, but it's gone. And we need tomorrow morning to move on very quickly, both us as management team and in particular the players, because in fairness to them, they've been brilliant in the last year and a half, but they weren't brilliant against Bohemians, both physically and mentally. They weren't good enough that night.
Injury-wise, everybody... Most players are available. No, though, it didn't seem to be any damage done tonight from an injury point of view.
No, we'll see with Richie inside and the doc. I can't call that. I've only been in the change room briefly there. Hopefully it doesn't look like that. With a couple, obviously, that weren't in the panel tonight that are out and will be out for the foreseeable future. But hopefully we've enough there to recover tomorrow and Sunday, and to have energy going to Sligo. And as I said before, lads, it's a long while since Galway are in the Shore Grounds. Mike, you know that better than most. It might be the guts of 6.5 years. And we need to be right up there, because it's a big pitch. They're a very, very good side, and they keep possession very well. And if we show up like we did against Bowes, and that's about the fourth time I've mentioned it, if that happens, well, then we're just going around in circles. We need to kick on from tonight, recover, and go there with an intent of energy and legs and drive and confidence, which is what you mentioned.
Thanks, Ollie.
You're welcome, Mike.
Magnificent win, Ollie. I mean... You know, great energy, great burst from the team. Like, the cushion could have been bigger if A.O. Durbin hit the bar, didn't it?
Yeah, it could have, but, you know, it could have been worse too. You know, to put it that way, too. You know, it doesn't, you know, to be fair to them, they managed the game well. You know, they sat deep when they had to, they pushed and squeezed when they had to as well. And they made some good decisions, bar maybe Killian's decision, and he was outstanding other than that tonight. I thought they made some very good decisions. We defended the set pieces very well. But we've got to do all of that again on Monday night, and Sligo will are every bit as good a side, and at home, as Shelburne are here away. So you know, we're quite aware of it, and hopefully that we learn from the lesson of the Bohemians game on the Monday after coming back from the Brandywell on the Friday night.
I know there's a case like the club lost financially because there was no away support here, but did they gain in the sense that there was no kind of like hostility from the other side? You know what I mean?
I don't really know. I don't. We didn't even discuss that. Like, it's not even relevant to the changing room, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? The lads are quite focused and need to be focused, and I don't think it matters if, you know, you're sitting in Tala with 6,000 people roaring down your back, or you're in Terryland here minus the Shelburne supporters. No, you know, it got a lot of publicity. That's about all. That it didn't even reach the changing room, to put it that way to you. It's out of our control, and I don't think it had any effect on the outcome of that game. Like.
Okay, and finally from me, can we touch on a feisty end to the match? Wasn't there, you know, something going on between the boxes?
Yeah. I thankfully didn't actually see it, which was a first, to put it that way to you. I'm delighted that. Look, of course, you know, you're going to have a little bit of, you know, you're going to have the blood boiling with a minute to go, or was there 7 minutes of injury time to play in the end? Of course, it's going to be, you know, people are going to be, you know, excited, and people are going to be fighting for every corner that we have. Yeah, a little bit of madness is what it seems to have been, but you know, I don't think there was anyone. And you know, is it handbags they call it in the GAA? I think the Gaelic lads would be disgusted with that, lads, to be honest. You know, so no, that's you know, it's good to have fight and good to have drive and good to care. And you know, if we don't have that, well then we've nothing.
That's so, football.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Damien, how disappointed are you with it?
Yeah, it's obviously a given. Disappointing result, even more so the performance.
I mean, you know, you came here, you fought well, you're top. It's done a lot of damage, hasn't it, really? I suppose you're top of the table, lose a game, innit? But, you know, you take it on the chin, you move on.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to reflect as well. It wasn't a good night last week against Bowes. You can learn a lot from it. You can learn a lot from tonight as well. And just even application, the energy, how much you want to win a game, which is damning, but I think a lot can be pointed towards that tonight.
Was there any disadvantage? You didn't have any vocal voice support with you?
No. Here, fans, management. At the end of the day, you should be able to motivate yourself as a player. So, no.
Okay, I can take your disappointment, but you're doing great, Damien. Do you know what I mean? I just want to bring you to Chelsea Man City tomorrow. What do you think about that? Me being a Chelsea fan.
I didn't even know they were playing. On, is
it? You played in big games like that yourself, I remember. Yeah, I saw you score goals, man, at the Bridge.
Yeah, here, I'll watch to take my mind off tonight. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
The Soccer Show, for fans only.